Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Market Musings Podcast with Fairbairn and Russell.
Hello and welcome to the Market Musings Podcast here, where today we are welcoming our favourite sort of guests on the podcast, and that is private investors. We always love talking to private investors and finding out about their background and history and what stocks make them tick. And today we're very pleased to be talking to Doc Diversity, who is indeed himself a private investor of 12 years, I believe. So hello, Doc. Welcome onto the podcast. How are you?
Hello, Mark. Hello, Kenny. Yeah, I'm good, fine. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. Thank you. Thank you very much. We have had another Doc on the podcast. You are definitely a different Doc, Dr. Diverse. Maybe I should call you the Doctor rather than Doc, just to differentiate there. But yes, it's nice to have you on. And of course, of Kenny joining us from Scotland as well.
Yep, I'm just going to call you Yogi Doc because that's what I know you as. So yeah, it's too much effort for me to change your name. So you'll just be Yogi for the purposes of this podcast. But no, as Mark says, it's great to have private investors on. And I think it's been some time since we've had a private investor on.
It's been probably a little while, I think, yeah.
3 months or something like that. Mainly probably because the market's been absolutely terrible and probably most investors are just burying their head in the sand. So maybe you're the sign of things to come, Yogi. Maybe the markets are about to turn.
I hope so.
I'll try and make it a little bit more exciting for the latter part of the year, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be nice, yeah.
and what's quite interesting about this podcast is, I mean, I've actually probably known you for a couple of years, Yogi, but I didn't even know I was going to be doing a podcast with you until about 3 or 4 days ago. And I think we've had a fair amount of banter and exchanged a few bits and pieces, but we've never actually came to blows. So, yeah.
No, we've been fine. I try and keep it toned down, what not. You know, everybody's opinions matter, so I try and get on with everybody if I can. It's not always the case.
Yeah. If everybody got on, life would be boring. So it would, sometimes you need a bit of difference of opinion and a wee bit of confrontation. Get off your chest. You know what I mean? As Welsh and Scots, I've got to stick together. So we have sometimes.
Celts, absolutely. The Celts are the way forward.
Anyway, so I think obviously we're going to talk about your investing journey in this podcast, obviously, but maybe it'd be good to get a bit of background about yourself. You know, obviously you're Welsh, so we'll assume you're born in Wales, but you can maybe fill in the rest of the gaps for us.
Yes, I'm very much Welsh. I'll try and slow my voice down because us Welsh, we speak a little bit fast, to be fair to us. So yes, I am born in Wales. I am in Wales. I'm in my 40s now, which is creaking, to be fair. I'm a building contractor, so it's nothing like the market. So it's a little bit of a relief, I suppose, the market, even though that can be stressful at times, that's for sure. It's fun. I find it fun. I've had some good times, had some bad times, but you can't have the downs without the ups and vice versa. So I'm quite happy with it, to be perfectly honest.
And when you said you started, well, you told me before we started recording that you've been doing it about 12 years, maybe. So what I guess the first question is, what enticed you into starting in your investing journey?
I've been trying to remember what I actually did, if I'm totally honest. I can't really remember. I'm sure it was a friend that was in the army, and he had a fair bit of downtime, should we say. And I don't think, because he was in the SAS, he couldn't leave so freely. So he wanted to, get his mind going. So, and he started talking to me about, it was oil companies to start with. And I started having a look at that. It wasn't particularly very successful, I have to say. It's took me a long time to get to grips with how certain things could work, should work, will work. And I started with that. And I think Hurricane Energy was my first ever big loss to learn off. Well, that's for sure. It was a nasty one.
Well, we all have those nasty ones. You pay for your education in the stock market, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely, and I definitely paid my dues in that, and a couple of others. As we know, the oil market, or as I know now, the oil market is inherently up and down. It can go anywhere it wants to, depending on the weather, I think. Mm. So I learned a lot from that, and he was really clever. To be fair, he knew he was quite sort of unemotional, whereas I was very emotional, and he teach me to detach a bit. But then mainly he was a trader rather than a long-term investor, which I think is a lot easier to be less emotional, because, you know, if you think from your research that something could do extremely well based on what you're looking at, then it's hard not to get an emotional attachment when especially when it's going down or sideways, or, you know, it's not actually going anywhere. So I think that with him being a trader, it sort of helped me detach myself a bit. I'm still not totally detached, but I'm 90% the way there.
Yeah, well, I must have been. I'm trying to think. And I started trading probably, I'm a bit older than you guys, obviously. I mean, I was back in the early 2000s, you know, and I started off with, you know, with my SIP, taking control of my SIP, and like you said, Yogi, you get a bike kicking the balls, and, you know, I mean, I've had a few of them, and it does, as Mark says, you pay for your education. And when I actually fell out of the stock market for 2 or 3 years, and just, I don't know, I just got on my life, had a young family, and, you know, life takes over sometimes, but there was always this niggle at the back of my mind. And, you know, a few guys that I used to not work for, but, you know, I had dealings with, you were always on my case to come back to the market, and I never listened to them. But I found myself back in the market now, maybe reinvented or reincarnated in a different form. But I don't think I would have been where I am now if I didn't have that kick in the balls, because that's given me the fire in the belly. You know, I mean, from my own personal story, you know, I used to own my own house, and, you know, everybody's something happened to their life. It sets them back, you know, and I had that situation. And, you know, I'm still renting my house at the moment, you know, and trying to get back in the property ladder, and I will get there. But everything I've done for the last 4 or 5 years has been born out of the frustration of basically buggering things up for myself and obviously my family as well. So, yeah, that's I wouldn't change it. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't change anything.
I don't think you should beat yourself up so much, to be fair, that, you know, we all make wrong decisions in any part of life, to be fair. I try not to look too much backwards. I always try and look a bit forward. And, you know, I've lost some crazy money for my family, realistically. But then it does give you exactly what you said. It gives you the fire in the belly to get it back. And weirdly, I'm not really money orientated. It's a bit strange, really, even though this is what we do it for. I get the buzz out of winning. You know, I suppose looking at what I've researched and thought about a company or and where they're going, and you know, you win, and that's you know, the money comes. I suppose I always look at it. I always tell my mates, I look at it like a footballer. You know, a footballer don't go on the pitch thinking, you know, by the time this game ends, I'm going to earn 20 grand. They do their best and the money just comes. And I pretty much keep it to sort of that analogy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What kind of sectors are you in at the moment, Yogi? Is it mainly some mining stocks or a bit of tech, bit of pharma? You know, what's your spread like? Or what has it been like in the last couple of years? Obviously, COVID's affected everybody's portfolios and what they're investing in for the last couple of years. What about yourself?
I think COVID actually for me it was my pretty much my best year. I think that was basically because the amount of people that were sat in their house and they wanted something to do made it so much more liquid on the stocks that you couldn't really lose. It was a year like no other, and I don't think we're going to see that. Well, you might see it once crypto sort of not ends, but the massive gain sort of goes, you might see a bit of a jump back in the market then. But for me, mining stocks are my thing. It might be because of my the area that I'm a building contractor. I love raw materials for some bizarre reason. But also I think that it's things that interest me, like for instance the green energy thing, the environment is something that has always got me. For some reason, I like that. So, you know, that can spill into tech, mining stocks, lots of things. Well, crypto, the beach token. So those kind of things. So I've got a bit in all of it, really. It has to excite me, to be fair. I can't just see it as money. I have to be interested in it. Otherwise, like traders sort of do. You know, they don't look at fundamentals, and rightly so. They're looking at what they need to do. And they don't really look at anything. So it has to excite me. And, you know, the green revolution for me, it's been ongoing for a good few years now. But I think that with COVID and the amount of debt that countries has, you know, the only way to get out of it realistically without austerity is to spend the way out of it. And if you're going to spend you a little bit, it has to be on something which is going to change, bring jobs. And I think, and that's why, you know, the metals, the prices are going through the roof, you know, with EV. And I'm not a massive fan of EV, if I'm totally honest with you. And that's probably because I'm electrically certified. So we know realistically what the country can take. I've been plugging in things. But hydrogen is where I like hydrogen. So when it comes to hydrogen, I jumped in EUA many years ago. That was Eurasia Mining. So that was what I jumped in there mainly for palladium. So you have that. Copper I like, so critical metals is one of my favorites with that, as you know. And it got, you know, power metals, I love the way they do things. So, you know, I need to like the CEOs, I need to like the background of where they're at. They have to have a lot of skin in the game for me. They have to own a certain amount of the company for me to even go near them. That's just the way I work. There's no other reason for that. Because, you know, ultimately, you know, to put it simply, if they're going to screw us over, they have to screw themselves over. That's the way I always look at it. It's simple, you know?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point. But when you talk about the green energy revolution and EVs, I mean, like I say, I've still got my diesel and I'll probably run it into the ground. But the situation now is that there's no roadmap for an internal combustion engine anymore. We don't have a choice. You know, it's the auto manufacturers are just saying that that's the end of the road. So whether we like it or no, we're just going to have to accept it. And as you rightly say, you know, the critical metals, some of these, the nickel price and the copper price has been through the roof. At some point, it will filter down to these juniors, so it will. And the majors don't have enough mines, it will filter down. I know it looks a bit barren and a bit bleak at the moment, but when it filters down and it happens, then that's when it gets manic. And it might be a mad 5, 6, 7, 8 month period, and that's when you make your money. And then then it stagnates again. You know what it's like. It's just, yoga, it's just a cycle. It's just timing it well. So it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything's a cycle. I think, you know, the big mining companies never want to do exploration. They let the little companies do that. You see a lot of them are moving around now. You had, you know, big mining companies buying others. What you're finding now, or what you, a little bit, and what you're going to see more of is companies are going to be buying mining companies. And that's not to secure the price, that'll be to secure the product.
Exactly. Yeah. The number of people I speak to, and particularly in the EV battery commodities sector, saying that manufacturers are looking to buy or directly partner with the mines to secure their supply chains. And the early movers are happening now. But as Kenny alluded to, you're probably going to see it filter down, and it'll be a mad time for a few months, for sure. It's going to be quite exciting, I think, in that space. But talking on excitement, you mentioned that it has to excite you. What is it that excites you? Is it the potential returns, or is it more being part of something, being part of a revolution, for example, or a journey?
Yeah, being part of the journey is more for me, because I think it's the way I was taught in my job, that you know, you focus on the job first and the money comes. You know, if you focus on the money, the job goes downhill. So, you know, I know that that's what we're doing it for. You know, I'm not going to get away from that fact. But, you know, if it excites you, and if it excites me, the way I look at it, if it's exciting me, then it has to be. It might not do as well as I think, but more often than not, if it excites me, it will. It does well enough. That's for sure. So, you know, when I looked at, for instance, EUA a few years ago, and I looked at the Dimitri, who's one of the, he was the M&A guy for his history is unbelievable. You know, he has enough money; he doesn't need to do it. So you think to yourself, why is he doing it? And then if you look into people more and more, you get a good idea of what they're like. You know, I know they're going to be ruthless, you know, in a certain degree, because that's what their job is. But look in the background as much as you can find out. You think, there could be something here. And then you just go on and go on and go on. Sometimes I take that long to research. I actually miss the boat, as it were. But, right. You know, I try not. I'm not always successful. That's what I'm absolutely sure. But some of them I've done okay. So
when it comes to your researching, because that is very interesting. How much do you do before you actually go into a stock?
It can vary, to be honest. I think first and foremost, I look at the usual suspects of what you do. You know, the MCAP. You know, the debt.
Yeah, yeah.
And things like that. What the CEO or the board. You know, what they own. Have they paid for it? Have they been gifted it? And you look at their roadmap or white paper, whichever you want to look at it, where they're going or where they want to go. For instance, in mining, you look at, I look at where they're situated in the world. So, you know, they're in Africa, they're in Canada. The jurisdiction can obviously make you think, ooh, or well, that sounds good. I look at that, and then I look at the people. So I look quickly over that, to be honest. And, you know, I think most of us, after we've been doing it for a few years, you look at the MCAP debt, you know, what they got in the bank. That's quite quick. You can do that quite quick, and that sends you to the next level. I look at the people. I'll look at them I'll listen to them on an interview, and see how sincere they talk. And if I'm really interested in the company, then I'll contact the CEO. I try not to, because too many people do that. And, you know, CEOs are very, very much like, you know, footballers and everything else. They're very media trained, and they have to be. So I understand that, and they can only give so much out. But you can tell how excitable certain people are. You know, like the Power Metals CEO. He's very excitable on Twitter, and he seems like a really good guy. And that's where it leads me to them. And, you know, like I said, you don't always win, but I think that if you've got a little formula for yourself and the way you do it works, then that's all that matters. You don't have to follow anyone else's blueprint. That's for certain.
Yeah.
And what's your traditional approach then, Yogi? I mean, are you buying in open market? Are you doing placings with brokers? Or, you know, what is your modus operandi, for want of a better term?
I always buy an open market. That's a rule that I got. And that's just for myself. Not that I look down or don't like it. It's just a rule for myself because of the sort of, again, an emotional attachment to it. I don't feel like I've been given anything. I've never accepted a warrant and never would. I don't want them. It's principles. Even though it's business, I stick to my principles. And like I said, it hasn't been that bad for me really on that. Again, I'm not having a go at anyone who does. You know, if they're good and they do well with it and they leave enough for the next man, as it were, then if it works for them, that's fine. I got no problem. Yeah.
So do you not think you're missing an edge, perhaps, by taking part in? I mean, there's nothing wrong in taking part in a placing because companies need money to survive, you know. Does it never appeal to you at all?
No, I never want to get that far into it, if I'm honest with you. I'm a long term holder anyway, and I, you know, for instance, a lot of the mining stocks, if I see, like, for instance, EUA waiting for the sale, that's what I went in there for. I knew I was going to sit in there until the sale. I could have traded about 25 times by now, mind the way it's gone up and down. But I sat in there for the sale. I did actually have to sell out at one point in EUA for personal reasons, but then I managed to get back in. But usually I'm there till what I class as the end. So, you know, I've got a strategy where I think where it could get to, and if it gets close, I'm all in and all out. I never...
Okay.
A lot of people scale down, and that is the right thing to do. I won't lie, but I don't. I'm all in, and then I'm all out, and that's the way I do it.
So you're really buying into the story for the long term. But what about? I mean, particularly in mining stocks, where you definitely have the peaks and the troughs. You know, you get that first drill result, and oh, off it goes, and then it comes back down a bit. Then you have the feasibility study, and oh, off it goes again, and then, you know, all the while it should be building a higher base. You said you don't trade any of the peaks and troughs, but at what point do you come out at the point that they're pouring gold and producing or paying a dividend, or when would you call your exit point, do you think?
Well, for instance, it's very rare that I'll go into exploration companies, as it were.
Okay.
Power metals is a little bit different for me. For instance, I'll put some stocks against this now. So EUA, I knew was going for the sale. I mean, Critical Metals, which their blueprint is to sell, as I believe. And then you've got LND, Land or Resource. You know, if you look at them, when I first looked at them, I think their CEO was 80 then. I think he's 82 now. I think, well, an 80-year-old CEO, he's not going to mine himself. So he's not going to start mining this. So this is to sell. This is a very similar story to EUA. Might not be in obviously the same scale. It's in a nice jurisdiction as well as Canada, so that was nice. And you've got other smaller ones, which are, you know, I usually like near-term, you know, brownfield. That's my kind of game, really, with them. I have gone into ones where I thought was a bit naive, which I thought was a little bit closer. Well, Power Metals being one, I thought was a little bit closer. But, you know, the amount of projects they've got on the go, you know, for me, it'll be fantastic, but it's, you know, it's a few years down the line. So that's one where I sort of went into looking the amount of shares they have and everything. They go up and down, but it's never hugely. So I didn't mind with that story. So yeah, for me it's pretty easy. But like I said, you know, when I go into the stocks, it's never, obviously I won't divulge, you know, what sort of money I go in there, but I never go in small. I'd rather sit in a lot less stocks with a lot more money in them, because for me, you can look at risk, and it is correct, mind you know, you look at your risk and you look at the sectors and you try and spread all that. So I agree with that. But for me, the other way of looking at it is that, you know, if you put £20,000 in a stock and you were looking to stay in there a year, well, there's a lot more risk in that for me than putting £50,000 in there for 6 months. So there's ways that I look at it for my risk, and I'd rather do the more money going in for maybe a shorter term, but because you can reassess the situation a lot quicker. That's the way I've always done it anyway. Mm.
Okay.
Maybe I should do something else.
we'll talk about something else. We'll move on to crypto, because we have talked to each other in crypto Telegram rooms recently. But what do you do outside of stocks and you know, being a building contractor? What do you do in your spare time? You know, what are you up to?
In my spare time, my kids take up a huge amount of my time, that's for sure. We go off a lot and have a look where Wales have got, Scotland, where they go, England. We like to travel a little bit. And the kids like to see different things, you know. You know, from personal circumstances, I try and do as much as I can, as often as I can. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, spending big, but just seeing things. There's so many, especially I think a lot of people seeing in COVID, how much this country has got that you didn't actually realize it had. So it's good, especially Scotland. Scotland's a beautiful place up where you can. So there's so much, you know, it takes years to explore most of Scotland. I've been to a good few places up there now, and that's what we like to do. I do, I used to play rugby, but I'm too old. So I watch rugby a lot. Yeah. That's what I can do now, just sit there.
As soon as you mentioned rugby there, I was just thinking about Gerwyn Price. A few times actually during the podcast, I've been thinking about him just because listening to you. I don't know if you're from the same Gerwyn area.
Price, he lives just down the road.
Well, there you go. Then it must be the localised accent.
Well, Gerwyn Price, he lives just down the road. Well, he's done exceptionally well being a rugby player and then turned to darts. That's just unbelievable. But just the other side of where I live, you've got Joe Kawasaki, the boxer. So he's not far away. Mm-hmm. Ex-world champion now. And also the Manistry Preachers come from where I live. So the only untalented person, I think, is me.
Gerwyn's always good for some for entertainment, you know. I think he started off being the bad boy in darts and he liked it for a while, but then I think he's getting fed up with it now. But the crowd won't let it go. So
he's the same in real life, to be fair, mind. He is no different, to be fair. I see him about the place. I don't know him very well, but I see him about the place. And he is no different, except he don't try and start fights. I think that's about the only difference he has. But yeah, he's a very talented guy. He's done extremely well for himself, that's for sure. So better than me.
Yeah, well, I'm a big Gary Anderson fan, and him and Gerwyn have had a few battles on stage, and it's been close to fisticuffs a few times. So that's is great. I love going to the Premier League. It's just a riot. So it is. I don't think you would like it somehow, Mark. I don't think it's your scene, but no.
What is your scene, Mark? What is your scene?
What is my scene?
Yeah, I don't think nobody's asked you that before, so let's get down to that.
What is my scene? Well, I've recently joined a gun club. That's a bit random, I know, but I've always been into shooting, and I joined a gun club here. So I'm getting my eye back in, doing my target practice with the old air rifles and air pistols until I can be past the test to make sure that I am, you know, deemed to be a worthy, good-behaved citizen who does not commit any crimes or do anything, you know, dodgy, and then I can progress up to some small caliber stuff. But what is my scene? I mean, I like my fitness. That's, I'll admit, you know, that's very important to me, my health. I live in the Netherlands, so the bike gets used a hell of a lot on the awesome cycleways that they have over here. And almost every evening a week. Wednesday, normally I have a day off. I'm out with my gymnastic rings, doing various kind of gymnastic type strength things. So yeah, my health and fitness is very important. My strength, bit of target practice. I used to be into model aircraft, like RC models, but I left them all in the UK when I moved here, and I just don't have the space, to be honest, all the time with what we're doing at the minute. So that's on the back burner. But I think
all I'm thinking about now is spandex when you mention
I could tell you a story about that, so I could.
Well, that's it. Well, that's far more interesting than my hobbies, that's for sure. So that's
fun, though. I just drink Tennent's Lager. I think that covers everything for me, so it does. I don't think I really need to expand on that. Yeah, I used to run boys' football teams, but I've done it for 14 years, and I always said that the team that I finished with there was my last team, so I'm on a bit of a sabbatical from taking boys' football teams, but I'm missing it, but I'm not missing it. Plus, my daughter still plays football, so we usually get two nights a week training, and then she plays a Saturday and a Sunday, so Yeah, I've still got my football fix, so I have, but...
So I like a bit of football. I'm more of a rugby man. You know, rugby is my thing.
But
I do like football. I do watch it. So,
well, yes, good. Well, using rugby terminology, let's move on to the scrum that is crypto, because it is a bit of a ruck and a bit of a ball and a bit of a wild west out there, so it is.
Yeah, and today, of course, Bitcoin's broken all-time highs, isn't it, when we're recording this podcast? So there we are. Yeah, new all-time high for Bitcoin. It's exciting.
Yeah, 66,200 at the moment.
Indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I just checked. It is, crypto, how can I describe crypto? So I'm a bit of a pessimist with crypto, I think. I'm in a few crypto plays, as Kenny knows. I'm in a lot of things that he's in. So
I think you're actually stalking me, because I'm in Power Metals. I'm in CoinSilium as well. We're in the same crypto tokens. I mean, a wee birdie told me you had a crush on one of the presenters, but certainly no me, so...
Well, I have seen a picture here, to be fair. No, you've got to get that fitness bag first, my friend. Right? You're going to have to. I'm sorry. I'm a fat boy, but I don't want one the same as me, do I? Come on. Some of our stocks we're in, yeah, we do seem to come past one another quite a lot. CoinSilium is... how can I put CoinSilium? I like CoinSilium. I like the as you know, the guys at the helm, Malcolm. He seems like he's probably a bit too honest, maybe to be up there. I'm not quite sure. They seem to be lining a lot of the ducks behind the scene that I look at. A lot of it is beyond me, I won't lie, and it is. So I'm not going to pretend that I know half of it, because I don't. I'm learning a lot, especially from the board you're on. And well, you've got to say, because you are way up on it compared to me, that's for absolute certain. It doesn't move very much, very often, but I'm patient. There's obviously...
Yeah, CoinSilium, you'd be patient, you'd be rewarded. I mean, we've seen the last, you know, was it February, March, you know, the last time it moved, it was phenomenal. So I'm pretty confident the guys will deliver. They know what they're doing. They've got the right contacts. They've got the right joint ventures. It's people want, you know, instant results, because Argo Blockchain, it's a totally different company from Argo Blockchain or any of these Bitcoin miners. And people think because they've got a treasury, you know, they're Bitcoin miners, but they're not. You know, the treasury's been built up through advisory fees and other such services that they provide. And they're not just a one-trick pony. You know, they're not just a Bitcoin miner. They've got, you know, multiple things going on in the background, and there will be a catalyst. And when it happens, and we've seen last time, once the OTC get a hold of it, they love a tech stroke blockchain stock. And once the OTC get a hold of it, like I say, it will just go in an absolute bender. So, I mean, I'm entirely comfortable with CoinSilium. In fact, me and Mark speak to Malcolm quite often on this kind of style of podcast. So, yeah.
No, I agree with you. I totally agree. I think that, like, for instance, it seems like an awfully long time ago now. I remember looking at Argo Blockchain at 5p and then thinking, what on earth do these guys do? And then I researched it and looked into it, and I bought it. I should have said earlier, a lot of the time, I think anyway, it's luck. A lot of the time, this is all luck. You have to have luck to get anywhere. And I've been incredibly lucky, especially with, like I said, with Argo Blockchain. And I don't slice. Maybe a lot of them I should. Like, for instance, CoinSilium, it went up to 32p. I could have sliced and made a lot of money and gone back in, like as it is now, just over 7p. But I didn't. But with Argo Blockchain, it worked, because I rode it all the way up to, I think, off the top of my head, it's 1.50, 1.80, and I rode it all the way up. So, again, incredibly lucky, because I knew very, very little about the crypto space then, and I don't know much more now. But, you know, at that time, I didn't know anything at all, really. And then, so that was good. But the dynamic of crypto for me has totally changed, I think. I don't think, you know, everyone's complaining why are not Argo, you know, following Bitcoin a lot more now. And I think, because I don't think miners have had their day, obviously, but I think that you have to have a bit more to your bow than they have, which obviously I think they've seen a while ago. I think Peter Wall, he's really on it. He seems very, very clever. He seems like a great guy too. And obviously they've invested in Pluto. So they've seen a bit of diversification they need as well, which you know, I'm not an Argo blockchain anymore, but and that's why, you know, going back to Coinicillium, this is why I like Coinicillium. It's very much like KR1 when I seen KR1 at the same time. You know, they've got far more about them. So, you know, Coinicillium, they've got NFTs. They've obviously just signed up with the crypto bank, you know, with our starter, which is great. So they sort of gain each angle. And at some point, you're right, at some point, whether, I don't think it really matters. At some point, it will just go boom.
It'll be something left field, and Malcolm probably won't expect it either. It'll be something just out of the blue. And
well, it was last time, wasn't it? Let's be fair. Last time at the start of the year, it went out of nowhere. And I think you might correct me, but I thought that the US seems to take everything usually, you know, and they took Coinicillium, didn't they? You know, after Arpas 1, Arpas 2, Coinicillium just started going nuts. And then obviously the same with Argo blockchain, when they carried on trading, you know, the next day it opened up a bit more, and you had that. It's done that twice, I think, Coinicillium. Maybe not at the high. It went about, I don't know, 2 months ago, I think, didn't it? It went up to 18p, maybe?
I think maybe 13, 14 or something at the peak. I'm comfortable with it.
Me too. Yeah. I like them as well. And again, good guys. You know, when I said earlier, you know, I look at the people behind it, and they all come across extremely well. Even the tie-ups, the companies they're tying up with, they seem, you know, really, really on the ball as well, and seem like good guys. And then you've got, obviously, I mean, with yourself, with the program Rogue Twins. So, you know, from when you started that in, I think, June. I think it was June. It seems like an age ago now, mind. I enjoyed when at one of the launches, when, you know, something in the contract went, and it was like, ooh. So that was a good week or two. And obviously since then, the Beach Coin, so I'm part of all of them as well. I'm part of Indorse Token, which is linked to Coinicillium, as you know.
Yep.
I bought it not actually knowing what the hell it was, if I'm totally honest with you, but it was linked to Coinicillium. I thought, I'll have some of that, and then read about it afterwards, which isn't really the best thing to do, to be perfectly honest, but I did that. And since then, yeah, you know, I think I looked at Indorse Token, I thought, 6,500 holders. I thought, I'd never seen that before. And and then I started, like I said, I bought it and started reading about it. So, yeah, you know, for those. And then I've got a couple of other plays, I think I said to Mark earlier. You know, for instance, for crypto, for me, I need it to do something. It has to have something behind it. So obviously, Coinicillium got all these plays. So the Beach Coin have got a great environmental background and what it wants to do. That's me all over. I love that. Again, I've got a couple of others like Coty and FTM. You know, they're sort of the dynamic that makes sort of things work. So, you know, for me, you know, if anything's going to sort of, as I put it, survive, it would be those kinds of things. Because I was very skeptical with crypto, because I, you know, people said, you know, when it first started kicking off, you know, this is for the common man. And I thought, well, okay, you know, for the fact that, you know, it's not manipulated like shares, you know, with the MMs, et cetera, you look at it and think, well, it's basically based off buys and sells. So that's great. But then for me personally, I just think it's a rich man's toy, or I have done. I'm not so much whether I think that now. It might be a controversial what I've just said, but, you know, Bitcoin is very much manipulated. You look at people are saying, oh yeah, it's going to get there, you know, it's going to go down to that, and it does. And you think, well, how does it? It's because, for me, you know, the big guys or corporations or whoever they might be buying in huge quantities, they can make it go wherever they want. With Bitcoin, I'm talking about specifically. So I think maybe that sort of tie up where the rich people can make things move, as we've seen with Elon Musk over the last few months. Maybe he's dwindling a bit more now, and more, you know, because there's not that many people realistically trading crypto when you look at the numbers, really. So the more people that start coming into it now, the more that it will be for the common man, as I put it. You know, maybe that's the wrong terminology I'm using, but that's the way I look at it. So it's interesting. I don't understand it, and I'm not ever going to say I understand it, because I don't. Is, you know, the one thing I can't handle, and you will laugh at this, when they put the nonce, and I'm like, how can you pronounce? I will come up with this word.
I was a whole
nonce. I'm like, oh no. And every time I'm like a teenager, it makes me laugh. And
What is it, Kenny? Go on. You must know.
He knows.
I'm trying to remember. I can't even remember FUD. You know, I've always got to look it up. In fact, I can't even remember it just now. I'll need to Google it again. I'm hopeless with things like that. There's a whole language out there. It's a bit like in the Navy. My son's in the Navy, and I worked in a Navy environment, and they've got their own language called Jack Speak. And you know, everything's got a different name. You know, so the toilets are the heads and things like that. You know, so they all speak in their own language. And I think that was just, it was born out of all these guys being together for months and end. And, you know, you get bored and you start making nicknames up for people and names for other things. And I think crypto's sort of done the same thing as well, try to create its own language and its own culture. And it's good. Some of the gifts that people have got are just absolute brilliant. So there are some of them are absolute hilarious. And the amount of, you know, the amount of Donald Trump and Elon Musk gifts that have been made up, and there must be millions of them. They're just...
It's just surely they're not as good as the Hoff in the beach kind. Surely not. The Hoff. Who has found all these videos to mean absolutely everything? And you can actually, on the beach coin, which is brilliant, whoever come up with it on there, you know, you can basically put a line and whatever you want, and the Hoff will come up with something. He will come up with water. It's brilliant.
Yeah, there's Telegram's fantastic as they've developed the product. You know, there's obviously a lot of commands you can do, and we've got the Hoff bot, and you know, and
it was you who came up with that, wasn't it? Come on, the Hoffbot. That's perfect. That's you all over.
No, I came up with just to get a bit of background. So I came up with the name for Beach. So I did. Okay. So that was my claim to fame. But I must admit, since I've got involved in crypto, and obviously it was Pros and Roge to begin with, and I've somehow found myself at the coal face for Beach. But I must admit, I've learned so much. And Just for an example, tomorrow I've got a call with a guy about elk farming in Scotland as a potential investment for Beach. You know, so if he'd said to me 6 months ago, you're going to be speaking to guys about kelp farming, I would have just, you know, I would have said you're mad. But when you look into it and you look at the benefits of kelp farming and what it does for the environment and the blue carbon sector, you know, taking CO2 out of the atmosphere and stuff like that, it's fantastic. And I'm actually looking at it now, you know, as a potential business opportunity. So I mean, it's opened up my eyes to a whole lot of other opportunities. I've met loads and loads of people, lots of clever people, lots of people that are, well, they're certainly different. So they are, everybody's got their own opinion in life. And
it's a nice way of putting it, Fairplay. I like that.
Yeah, no, but listen, if everybody was the same and everybody agreed and everything, it would just be boring. So, no, I quite like a bit of competition. I like getting stuff off my chest sometimes, and it just draws a line.
Have you ever shouted at me? I'm not sure. Have you ever shouted?
I don't think so, no. No, we've had a few voice calls as a group, and yeah, you've always behaved yourself. And I've got to behave myself, or I try and behave myself.
I try not to. It's sometimes hard not to. I try not to attack people personally. You know, whenever I say it's meant for the right reasons and not personally. Hopefully, I don't always get it right, man. So
I mean, I know. Obviously, you're aware of what goes on in the beach. But even some of the stuff we've done with the token. I mean, we've got this whole community now in the Philippines, and you know, they've been cleaning the beaches, and then they progressed to cleaning areas for mangrove planting. So we've had a 1,000 mangroves planted a couple of weeks ago, and again, that's a blue carbon sector as well. We're planting, I think, 1,500 next week. You know, so we're starting to, you're basically, with the beach token, we're empowering people from communities to take action themselves, and all they needed was, you know, just a little bit of equipment and just a little bit of encouragement. Okay, sometimes it's a little bit of money as well. But if you can blend all that in and make the right cake, then they can make a difference themselves. And you've seen some of the media we've pushed out, and it's just mm-hmm. it's just amazing what people can do if you just give them that belief that they can do it. They are making a difference.
And that ties in then as well, doesn't it, to your investing sort of strategy as well, doesn't it? Yogi, with things doing for good causes.
Yeah, it's for personal circumstances. A few years ago, it was I seen some things and wanted to be able to give back. People can give. People don't have to give money to charity. They can give their time, and there's lots of different things. Exactly like Kenny just said. For me, I like to do work for people I'm got enough money so I can carry out some projects to help with the disabled children. That's where I'm at. And give money to certain charities that I do give anonymously. Some of them, they know it's me, but I don't really want to put my name out there with any of them anyway. And it's just because it resonates with me. So, a lot of the profits that I get, I give away, and it's just something that I like to do. It's not because I'm rich in any shape or form. I'm not poor, but I'm not rich, that's for certain. My accountant can tell you that, I can assure you, right? But there's so many people, exactly as Kenny said, with the areas they live in, even people with money, or parents with money, they lack a way to go to, who to look for. So, even those that kinds of affluent people, you can help as well, when they get in contact with me. We did DIY SOS in Caswell Bay. I think it's that long ago. I don't know when it was. I think it was the start of the year, pretty much, or the end of last year. We did that. I give them quite a bit on that. And that's because the guy there, Surfability, he takes a lot of children out surfing. Obviously wouldn't be able to do such a thing with their disabilities and things like that. So that was a great thing to do. And, especially down in West Wales, which I do visit quite a lot of West Wales. We go on holiday a lot there. They're beautiful places in West Wales, but they're not so sort of affluent with obviously, with jobs and things like that. So, for that to be down there, people actually come from all over the UK to go to Surfability down there. So it caters for everyone. It's not just for Welsh children or anything other. There's lots who actually go there from Scotland, from all different types. So for me, it's something that I like to do. It's not for everybody, and nobody should think they have to do something like that. It's just me, and that's why I started on Twitter for that reason, to try and I like to help people, so that as we all know, there's unsavory characters or companies wherever you go, and there always will be. So it's nice to not just actually give back to charities, etc. It's nice to, you meet some great guys, as Kenny alluded to with the talk, and you meet some characters and some great people you never would have ever met before. That's where social media, that's the good side of social media, when you meet the good people. And some of these people could have been struggling, and a lot of them obviously started in lockdown. They were getting paid, thankfully, and they were at home safe, and they were able to look in stock markets where they've never looked at before. But unfortunately, a lot of them were used for liquid in the market. That's basically what they were used for. That's all newbies, as we call them. They're perfect for that. They can believe a lot of hype very quickly. And we all have to go through it to learn, because otherwise we never would. So, but to meet some of them as well, and actually, I don't tell anyone to buy or sell a stock, but actually, just push them in a direction and say, listen, these are good guys. Like for instance, with the beach token, that's a good token to have. People on the stock market, was on Twitter, these are good guys to follow. And you just push them in the right direction. And these guys, I love it when, again, I looked at a common man, where families can make their life a bit easier. They might get a massive winner, but it's not about huge wins. It's about, the year end. It's about what you can make through that year. And hopefully for some of them, they've earned enough to make their family life a lot easier. I think that's what I allude to. That's what I like to do.
Okay, yeah.
That was easy.
Yeah. No, good. No, thank you. Thank you for that, yeah. Well, just stepping back onto crypto, I mean, shall we muse for a few minutes on where we think it's going to go on this interesting day? I mean, from my point of view, I do think it's going to get quite crazy, quite exciting. But then I do think it's going to ease off quite dramatically. No. I think it's going to go insane for, I don't know, maybe towards the end of the year, something like that. And I think it is going to get very exciting. And I'm feeling quite excited about it. But yeah, then I think it will have a decent pullback. But I don't know. That's my opinion. What do you feel, Kenny? Do you feel we're on the cusp of something here, or what? Are you taking it every day at a time? What are you thinking?
You're making me sound like an alcoholic, Mark, every day at a time, but it's probably not far from the truth. Yeah.
The world is listening.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've not looked at recent stats, but I mean, the uptake in crypto is still not massive. I mean, it probably is in certain, you know, Southeast Asia, you know, the uptake's been a lot better than, say, for instance, I think the UK is miles behind. So it is, I think, some of the African nations are miles ahead of the UK with uptake in crypto, South America as well, the States obviously, but I think UK and Europe is, I don't know, they just seem to be slow to adopt. I don't know what you feel about in Holland, Mark. I know you frequent some cafes in Holland and Amsterdam and whatever else is in Amsterdam, and what's the feeling amongst your social circle, because you're a bit younger.
I don't speak to so many people, but I mean, the people I do speak to, most people are talking about it and have done something in it, and people are asking me about it, particularly when I tell them, you know, where I work in. So there is a lot of talk about it, I find, on with your average man, so to speak. Yeah, which also is, so that kind of, you know, makes you wary as well. You know, how many, yeah, what kind of, what stage is the bubble at? And I do think, as we talked about getting burnt, you're not getting burnt, but, you know, paying for your education. I think some of that perhaps has to happen in crypto as well at some point. Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, I've paid for education in crypto as well. I mean, I've a few rugs. Yeah, so it's not costing me the world, but it's and the telltale signs were there. You know, after that, I said I should have known better. You know, but it's
fun though, isn't it? I knew you're losing money, but I've been rug pulled a few times. I think I agree with you, Mark. I think that it'll go to the end of the year. What I'll get to, I have absolutely no clue, but I think it'll go to the end of the year. And whether I have a massive drop or not, I don't know. But again, I think I touched on it earlier. Is it the fact that the corporations and the news and everything is telling us where it's going to go, and that's why it's going to go?
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird how that sort of works with the crypto. It's compared to shares, you know?
That whole kind of narrative, yeah, I feel you on that big time. I do. I do think it's just going to get very euphoric, and then I think it'll burst. And I think a few people might get hurt. But as you said, it's fun. That's the thing. It is fun. And for me, doing the cryptos is more, it's like, it sounds not very good to say it, but it's sort of like play money. I mean, I don't want to lose it, obviously. But it is kind of fun rather than a solid investment backing a company.
The only worry that I have with crypto is that, you know, we're a bit of a gambling nation, and because it's 24/7, it seems to me that people are looking for a fix.
Yeah, maybe
from eight till half past four. You know, and they gain their fix, and obviously, I think Kenny alluded to earlier that people just think everything's overnight. You know, overnight millionaire, and you've got. I thought that had gone a little bit, but because obviously I think crypto the last, say, 6 months has been a lot more long-term, you've got to hold. Obviously, there has been ones which have gone absolutely nuts. But with, I think that maybe afterwards, you'll have a euphoric. But it does this anyway, doesn't it, at the end of the year? This is sort of the thing it does. At the end of the year, it goes a bit nuts, and then, you know, the shares are the same in the summer, isn't they? You know, so they sort of got a bit of a pattern, and maybe that's why people are alluding to it's going to have a massive bull run and then it goes down. So maybe it's because of that. I'm going to enjoy it. I just tell people not to, it's the old cliche, don't invest more than you can afford to lose.
Exactly. And yeah, exactly.
You don't need I think with the crypto space, the only good thing is that you don't need, if you're going to pick a winner in crypto, especially in what we think is going to happen, you don't actually need a lot of money to make a big winner.
Yeah, that's very true.
So that's, you know, just people just need to be a bit sensible. We all get FOMO, and none of us are going to change. You're going to get it. And sometimes it's nice to have FOMO and get it, and then think, oh, damn. it brings a smile to my face, thinking, yep, you are still the same as everyone else.
Yeah, yeah. You're right, though. The returns in crypto can be phenomenal. And it's someone's said to me before, it's like being in the dot-com boom, but you're on the right side of it. And I wasn't old enough at the dot-com boom to take advantage of that. But if this is my dot-com kind of opportunity, then I'm going to be a part of it for sure and enjoy the ride, but proceed with caution.
It's a good point. I think every time we speak about crypto market, we always talk about caution, because not every day is decent chaps like ourselves, and there is people out there that are determined to try and scam you out your crypto. So yeah, you've got to protect your seed phrase. Don't lose it. I know we sound like a broken record. Don't give it away. You know, I mean, I've even taken it to another level now. I've now taken crypto off my MetaMask wallet off my main phone, and I've got a separate phone that's got my MetaMask wallet on it, and it's got no forms of communication, no WhatsApp, no Telegram, nothing.
That's interesting. Well, obviously, I would imagine you know the same as me. Someone we know in the last few days or last week have had their MetaMask broke into, and they took the lot. So how they've done it, I couldn't tell you.
That's the problem. You don't know. I mean, there's two different. There's the plain on scam where somebody says, you know, I'm from. I don't want to name an exchange. You know, I'm from Joe Blogs Exchange, and what these people do, so they'll trawl through all the Telegram groups, and somebody's got a problem with their wallet, you know. There must be a bot that searches for keywords and then flags up these various people. And they might turn around and say, I've got a problem with my Joe Blogs wallet and the Joe Blogs Exchange. And these people will then set up a Telegram profile to look at support from that particular exchange. They'll engage with them, they'll get their trust, and they'll say, I can help you get your tokens, or I can find your tokens for you. I just need your seed phrase, and then we can talk. Now, the tokens are probably always there. The person's probably never imported them into their wallet. So they kind of, until your wallet can actually see some of these altcoins, because they're not standard, so you've got to import them into your wallet before they're discovered. They're always there. And this person gets a seed phrase and they just empty the wallet, and that's it. So that's the upfront, in your face, they get your trust, and once it's gone, it's gone. There's nothing you can do. But there is this backdoor. I mean, I'm not smart guy, but there's obviously people that, you know, they'll maybe send you a link to come and look at our crypto group, blah, blah, you know, thousand times 50 winner or whatever. And you click on the link and it does look like a crypto page, but it's probably downloading some sort of spyware or virus or something on your phone. And if you've got a picture of your seed phrase on your phone, I'm pretty damn sure it can get it. And then that's how they do it.
That's my issue with crypto, unfortunately, that everyone, you know, it's brilliant that it's unregulated, and that's the whole point of it. But the problem I got that, you know, for something unregulated, someone can just come and take something off you, and you've got no rights and no way of finding it. So at some point, how they do it, I don't know, but it will have to have, and it will have anyway, just for tax implications, right? It will get some sort of regulation on it. And I think it has to have something. I don't know what, and I don't know what will work. I have no idea. But the problem is, like you said earlier about the rug pulls, and they, you know, someone can set up a coin, get everyone into it, and then they basically take all the all the money, boom, and they're gone. You know, how I don't know whether the space itself will sort of regulate it. You know, things come up and it obviously has moved on so quickly over the last 2 years, whether it sort of does it itself, so it becomes incredibly hard to do something like that. I don't know. But something will have to change, but especially for altcoins and you know, the bigger ones are not so bad, you know, but something will have to happen. And I think that I seen something not long ago from HRMC that are now starting to look into, you know, the amount of people making huge profits off trading these and not paying any tax. So if they're going to tax it, they're going to, what regulation you have for that, I have no idea, but they basically sort of hinting at people that we're going to be looking. So, you know, I don't really know what's going to happen to it. What do you guys think?
I'd love to see. So I phoned up the HMRC and said, yeah, 200 grand in my crypto wallet and somebody scammed me out of it. Can you write it down? How are they going to prove it? You know,
it's an hard one, isn't it? It's very difficult. It's very difficult. And I'm sure that the big boys of the world will figure out what to do.
But I mean, you've got your hardware option as well. I mean, I think, Mark, you've got a couple of hardware options for your tokens, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got a ledger. Yeah,
yeah. The thing that kind of scares me about them, I mean, some of them are even like temperature controlled. I think there's an optimum temperature you've got to store them at, and then, you know, what happens if it breaks? You know, it's just I don't know.
Well, you still have your seed phrase anyway. You still got your seed phrase, yeah. So you know, that is your ultimate backup, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's something I probably need to look into. But I've certainly taken my security in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Obviously, been involved with these tokens, and you do see, you know, different things happening, and some people. Obviously, some people are new to crypto, and you feel like saying to them, "Look, you should have known better." But then, I was that soldier once, so I can't really, you know, I can't really say anything about it. You know, I've not had my wallet scammed as such, but I've been rug pulled, so that's still part of the game for them. You know, so.
Well, you remember when Program Rogue, as I call it, not Program Rogues, because I'm a bit harder, not so posh as you, but when that first started, if you remember the. Then another Telegram group, exactly the same. There was all of us in there, exactly the same. And I was just looking and thinking, this is like Back to the Future film or something. You know, it's like another time. And that's how amazing they are and the lengths they will go to get your money. And I always share the group, the proper groups. If I say to someone, oh, this is good, I'll share the group myself to them, give them a link so that I know they go on the right one. And things like that. But people, if they're going to go into crypto and they're going to go into the, you know, altcoins or whatever, they need to go to the main. That's the other thing. A lot of them are doing fake websites. So it's how do you make sure you get the right contract? I think I say to people, go to Dex Tools or someone similar, Pucoin is the same. Go to them, and if you get the contract address off them to buy them, you know, I think 99 times out of 100, they're bang on. That's what I usually do.
Yeah, even they can be rug pulls as well. I mean, there's lots of things you can check. You can check is liquidity locked? How long is it locked for? Has there been a white paper? Is there a website? Because a lot of these tokens launch with absolutely nothing. And, you know, we'll say website TBC, white paper TBC, and it should be a red flag. And some of them, yeah, they will produce the white paper on the website and they do progress, but I must admit, I've just kind of, I don't think I've bought anything out with Pros, Rouge, and the Two Beaches in the last. There's a couple of other ones, but nothing major. I kind of think now it goes in a circle where there's all these launches and everybody gets involved and it's great. And then people start retracting back to their old sort of faithful coins that they know are safe and they know the admins, they know the dev, they know that people are genuine. And I think it'll go that way. I mean, the amount of launches that are happening nonstop is just ridiculous. And I think eventually the whole ecosystem will get tired of it and it'll be survival of the fittest. You know, if there's 5,000 shit coins, for want of a better term, out there, out of those 5,000 shit coins, you might end up with 500 decent ones. It's like any... any walk of life or any business, you know, it's the businesses that survive are the ones that have got the structures in place, they've got the team members behind them, they've got the assets, you know, the money, and they've got the reputation. So
So you guys, which is going to, so here we go, I'm going to ask you a question now. So if we're looking at the crypto space, if you had $200 to put in anything, it could be a shitcoin, it could be it could be anything, what would you put in? Besides your own, Kenny, you cannot say your own. Cannot.
Well, I'm kind of out of touch because I've kind of got blinkers on. I'm not really, I don't want to really.
You're getting out of that one too easy. No way. Come on. You can do a safe bet if you really want to.
Come back to me. Go to Mark first.
Mark knows already. Come on, Mark. You know which one you're going to say.
Yeah, I know which one I'm going to say. Yeah.
Go on, man.
I would go XRP or Ripple, as people call it, but XRP. Yeah.
XRP. What makes XRP?
I like XRP because it was built for speed of transaction and cost effectiveness. So it is the most cost effective way and fastest way to transfer. It settles in nanoseconds and costs very, very little. And the idea is cross-border payments. And the company Ripple are their technology is being used implemented with remittance companies and banks, and that's their plan to expand on that around the world. So they have the token XRP, and I watched it for quite a while, and then there was this lawsuit. That's the sort of the caveat, if you like, with this one that makes it the sting in the tail is that there's a current lawsuit going on with the SEC and Ripple. The SEC claimed that Ripple were selling almost like selling stock or equity in a company, or that was they were misleading rather than doing the crypto. So it's currently in the SEC. And when that was announced, which was December last year, the price of XRP absolutely fell. So I thought, oh, that's good. I'm going to jump in and have a go. And then within literally a 2 or 3 months, I tripled my money. I took my original money out and left the rest to ride, and have sort of topped up a little bit here and there. And my rationale is that this whole SEC thing was really a bit of a ruse. I think it's a bit of a joke, really. I think the Americans tend not to do things until it's gone through the courts, and then what the judgment is gospel then for a very long time. And I think this current case that's going on will settle fairly soon, I would think, and that'll be start to giving regulatory clarity, because the United States does need to do something about that. They really don't have any regulatory clarity on this. So, it was a good opportunity for me to buy. I thought it was cheap. It was exciting with the case, regulatory clarity, and of course the whole thing behind the speed of transactions and cheap transactions and what the company's doing behind the scenes, like you say, you know, what the company's actually doing behind the scenes away from the actual front facing token. So yeah, that's me.
I'm not getting out of this, am I? I've got my blinkers on, but I'd probably just go for Bitcoin. So I would just be.
Did give you the safe option. I did say that.
But like I say, I'm not really looking at anything else because I'm so, I'm so involved in my own.
Shall I tell you mine now?
Yep.
Now you're gonna laugh, but mine is the Ratcoin. Which is Ray Antiquities token, right?
Mm.
And it's just, again, you know, like you just said, it's the things behind it and what they're doing. It Ray Antiquities, so you know they're going to be buying art, anything, and they want to use the token to get into galleries and things like that. They have confirmed they've bought a Banksy. So that is confirmed. Like I know I can get away with saying that. So that is it's a different angle. Obviously, it's totally different to one you just said, you know, which this is why I bought Coty and FTM, quite similar sort of things. But for me, that one is a good business. And it's something I'm interested in. Not that I can afford to buy art, I just like to make that clear. Right. But technically, for them to buy art with, you know, with these tokens, and you own a bit of it, and it's just something different.
Yeah.
Maybe it could come to nothing, but they seem really good guys behind it. Welsh as well.
Which helps.
It always helps. And but if I went back to the main crypto, I think that one's going to do extremely well. But if it went for a mainstay, I'd probably go to Corti. Corti would be my first choice as in the main stable of things.
Okay. Basically. Okay.
Pretty much the same as you. Cash of the internet is pretty much similar to XRP. So.
Okay. Yeah. So what about Bitcoin then? Let's take some bets. Who thinks Bitcoin's going to get to 100,000 before the end of this year? I'll go first. I'm going to say no. I'm afraid.
Kenny?
Nah, it will. Yeah, it's got a head of steam. It's 95 already, Mark.
I want to say no, like Mark, but the thing I said earlier is that the mainstays have said it's going to get there, so it will get there, and that's why I think it'll get there.
The whole narrative play again coming in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it'll get there for that. I'm more interested in Ethereum anyway, because Ethereum makes things work, and I know it's a bit old school now, and there's going to be others to take over it maybe, but I think Ethereum is more interesting for me. I think that if Bitcoin's going to get to 100K, Ethereum has to get to 15,000, I think, if it gets there. So I think that's more interesting to me. And they seem to be a little bit more disjointed from one another now. They seem to, Bitcoin does a run and it slows or comes back a bit, then Ethereum goes. It's sort of, they've all got a system now of movement, altcoins and everything else. They got a system. So I think it'll get there. I think Ethereum will get there. And I don't think there'll be much of a pullback next year. Maybe not. I don't think they can afford it to, really. Can they? Or can they not?
I don't know. Ethereum's kind of kissing 4,000 at the moment. And I've seen, you know, quite a few predictions of 10 and 15 and 30. Obviously, Ethereum, the thing that's killing these now is the NFTs and the gas. You know, it's just, gas is just, I mean, it was cheap at one point today. It was $30 or $40 and you're like, oh, it's a miracle. But then you go to, you know, Binance Smart Chain and you're doing transactions for cents. It's, they need to get it sorted.
What can they do? What are they actually do? I've seen this week now, $400 at one point to buy something. I can't remember what I was looking at. What do they do to keep those gas fees down?
Ban NFT projects. No, that's certainly what's causing it. And obviously the popularity of the network. But we'll see what comes. But there is other options out there. I mean, obviously there's Binance Smart Chain and there's Avalanche, I think. There's quite a few, so there will be some competitors coming along. But no, it's interesting. Every day is a school day in crypto, so it is. I'm still learning, and like I say, I'm having a Zoom call with somebody tomorrow about Kelp now to do with crypto, which is just bizarre. But like I say, I wouldn't change it for the world, but there we go. But that's well over an hour. This must be one of the longest podcasts ever, Mark.
Yeah, it's getting on in the time. It certainly is. Yeah, but I think we could go on even longer, couldn't we? But it's probably best that we wrap it up there.
Yeah, I've not fell out with Yogi yet, so let's wrap it up before we fall out.
No, not yet. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. It's been great. Much appreciated for your views, and I'm gonna listen to little old me.
No, it's been a pleasure. It really has. Thank you for your time. It's been a good chat, and I'm sure we could do this again and have one just as long. But thank you very much for coming on and giving us your time this evening, Yogi, or indeed Dr. Diversity. Both names apply. And take care. Speak to you again, hopefully.
Much appreciated. Thank you, boys. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Yogi. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to another podcast from Market Musings with Fair Ben and Russell. Tune in next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.